Welcome to Straight from the Muzzle, folks, where we're anything but straight. My name is Space.
And I'm Paradox.
And we welcome to our episode, which is about what today?
Sorry. You had me laughing.
Sorry, I burped like right before I was doing the intro. And I was like, let's start at the 1:30 mark. And then I'm like, oh my God, I gotta burp. And so I had to burp like within seconds before we started recording.
And then you like half giggled and I'm like, God dang it. Anyway.
Shit happens.
Shit happens.
Yep.
All right. So our episode today is about young and new furries within the fandom.
So initially we were going to do an episode about young furries. And then I realized as I was reworking these notes that we had, I was going through, because I'm like, I know for a fact that some of the things we're going to talk about, we've talked about in previous episodes. But as I was scrolling down, I realized we have done an episode about young furries, but it was several years ago. And obviously opinions have changed. New things have come to light. So we're going to redo it again.
We're older. I honestly
have no idea what we talked about on that episode. I'd have to go and re-listen to it.
How many years ago was this, Space?
Let me
out of curiosity, because I don't think I know.
I gotta go take a look. let me scroll on the site. Like, honestly, I listened to all the episodes, but it's been so long since I've listened to the very beginning. Mm-hmm. So I think it's like in season 2 or 3. Let's see.
So way back then.
Season 3. Okay, it's not actually as way back then as you think. Season 3, episode 5 was done on October 14th, 2019. But we got 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, about 4 or 5 years ago. I don't remember what I said then. So, and you know what? It was only a couple months later that the pandemic, didn't the pandemic happen in like 2020?
Yeah, 2020.
It was like 2019, 2020. So
it happened, like stuff started being spread around like towards the tail end of 2019, but I don't think it was really
prominent until like January, February.
I remember the actual quote unquote pandemic for us, like we started going into lockdown
March.
Here in Ohio was March. Yeah,
March.
So I think really like the beginning. The tail end of 2019 to like the very beginning couple months of 2020 is when it really came to a head and like lockdown and stuff started happening. So yeah, that was like, let's say like 4 years ago. So 4 years later, we have new information and new opinions.
Yeah. It's so interesting if we just kind of sidetrack there for a second. I remember paying attention like in October and November to something happening in China. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, this would be really bad if this like broke out. And then I realized that it was slowly making it to other countries. And I think I even said to my husband, I'm like, it's going to hit us eventually. And then blam, March happens. Mm. And it doesn't go away for like 2 or 3 years, you know? So yeah. That happened. That yep. Was awful.
Although they did say the same thing when like Ebola was a thing. For a while.
Yeah, like true.
Way back in, like, when was that?
Ebola, I think, broke out 16. During the Brazilian Olympic Games.
Yeah.
Let's see. The Ebola outbreak was 2013 to 2016.
Oh.
And then it still exists in Africa. Mm-hmm. So it hasn't been eradicated yet. And then there was the H1N1 virus. That was the swine flu that somehow made it to humans. So that was fun. That was like back in 2009. So
I had that once. Sucked.
So they're still like, they still circulate. Mm-hmm. Like every once in a while, I'll read on the news that an outbreak of the bubonic plague, which is the black plague, will have the rat plague.
I think that's also.
What it's called.
Yeah, I think it's also what it's called.
Which was, you know, that's like a super, super old plague, but it appears and then it goes away. So it's just, it's interesting. At this point, I hope nothing ever, I really hope in my lifetime, another pandemic that has happened never does happen. But given our track record, I don't believe that nothing will happen. So,
I mean, we had, unfortunately, Trump as president, so anything is possible.
And Trump might be president again, so.
Okay, yay! All I have to say is that if that yellow, like, monstrosity gets put back into office, I'm not kidding you, I'm moving to Ireland. Come hell or high water, I'm moving to Ireland. I'm not doing this. No.
I've told Felix, like, honestly, guys, like, we don't really talk about politics on the on our show because we don't want to send you guys other directions. But truly, if Trump becomes president, this country is not going to become as free as it is right now. I'm just going to leave. I've told Felix that we need to get our passports, get ready, and then go to, like, Canada, go to, like, like, the Prime Minister of Canada is a freaking supermodel. I'd rather have that as a president, you know, as someone in charge than some orange tanned. Well, Justin Trudeau is the Prime Minister, I believe, of Canada, and he's just so fucking hot. Have you looked at him? Let me pull him up. Justin.
No, I haven't. I'm going to look it up. Prime Minister.
Well, he's just a good-looking man, and he got such flack because he's such a good-looking guy. But
the cat,
like,
has returned. Hopefully she doesn't eat me. Hello.
Hi.
The silver fox, hell.
I mean, show me
the picture. That was
he's
better.
Not like supermodel like esque, but he's just a good looking man.
Ooh.
So I don't know. Smash. I like this one. I'd smash this one. I'd like this picture. I like the beard and everything.
Hold on, let me look. Hang on,
Daddy, please.
Okay, so yes, that one. That's the one I was looking at.
Do you want to help me run the United States, Mr. Prime Minister?
The United States. I thought it was Canada.
No, well, he's the. I'm gonna list him to help me run the United States.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cat.
Can we're gonna make Trump our bitch. We're gonna ride him like a horse. We're gonna make him a pig. We're gonna ride him like a pig.
Yes.
Get all kinky and shit. All right.
That's for another episode that we're planning.
That truly is an episode topic that we are planning. I don't know when it'll come out, but that'll be really interesting. And
it for Pride Month. I think it fits in that area.
We should. Okay.
Yes.
We've wanted to do kink in the past, but we couldn't really go too much into detail. So I think this particular one, when we do it, we're going to have to put the filter on there. So that way, if you guys are listening on Spotify or anywhere else, you do have to acknowledge that you're a certain age and that what you're about to listen to is not safe for work. So, oh, well. Anyways, today's episode, Young and New Furries in the Fandom. Like I said, it was initially just going to be Young Furries, but New Furries was also a suggestion from another person that wrote in, and I kind of feel like these go hand in hand at this point because it just does.
I agree.
So our first thing to kind of go over this is how did or do people discover or find the furry fandom? And I've kind of been genuinely curious about how people find the fandom. I don't really know, so I had to go to Twitter and ask. So
I am going to look at it as well.
I'm going to click on it.
I'm going to click on it and hit enter.
So we asked this, surprisingly. I think this is because we got so many comments on it. Thank God people listened to the update episode. Thank you. We asked, how did you discover the fandom? And we're going to go over those. So how about we go every other one? Does that sound good?
Yep. As soon as I find it.
Well, here's the thing, too, is I've noticed that my list of comments might be different in order than your list of comments are.
Oh, hang on. Let me find. Okay, here we go.
If you guys hear like a sizzling noise, it's not sizzling. I'm just drinking sparkling water.
If you guys hear a cat or if me yelling at my cat, it is farting. My cat and she. What?
What? It's a natural process. People fart.
Okay, listen.
Oh my God. Let me tell you.
Okay. So
there's this parking garage next to the building that we work in. And the first two levels, I'll just kind of explain it real quick. It's four levels, but the first two levels are for patients and the rest of the levels are for employees. Well, I got out late, so it's around 5, and I go into the garage and I go to the elevator and I get in and the doors are kind of closing. So I'm like, all right, no one's getting on. So I just ripped one out loud.
Oh,
it was
no.
A stinker, no joke. And the last thing I saw were like 6 inches of the doors closing were like 5 nurses rushing into
into
the door, and then they push the button, and I'm like, oh shit. And the thing was, is I also wasn't just standing in there. I was carrying like a big box, like, because I bought an office chair and I put it together, and I realized it sat too low, so I had to take it back. And this thing is heavy, so I'm holding this against the inside of the elevator, kind of sweating, and I've also just like ripped a rank fart, and five nurses just pile in there, and I'm just like, oh my fucking god,
why? So, that's hilarious.
God damn it. Okay, so going back to the tweet, how did you discover the fandom? So the first one is from Stone Fox. They said, my friend Icy the Ice Wolf made a Google Doc about fursuits and sent it to me sometime around the seventh grade. That's impressive. Which they put, says many years ago. I instantly fell in love and have been in the fandom pretty much ever since, except for the year that I completely forgot the fandom existed. So I'd love to know what that year was.
Yeah, what just, happened to make you forget?
Something happened there. Maybe it was the pandemic. Who knows? The pandemic does things to people.
Maybe it was.
Do you see the next one below that?
The maple one?
Okay, cool. So we'll just go every one then.
Sweet. All right. So this one's from, I'm going to butcher the last part, but Maple Bartsy? Is that what that is?
Yeah, I think it's
my Maple cat Bartsy. Is attacking me. Un momento. Peachels, I can't play with you right now. No.
You have to go that way. Jail again.
She's so bad. I will put you in baby jail. You'll go in back in baby jail. She is begging for attention. No.
When you say baby jail, it reminds me of this moment when I was at BLFC a couple years ago of this Sonic. It was like, she was like a Sonic fursuiter kind of a character. She followed our thing, but she like got inside this jail and she called it gay baby jail. And then she took a picture of it and put it on Twitter. And that's all I think about now. When people say like baby and jail together, I'm like,
that's what Zakiya called it the other day. She called it
gay baby jail.
Gay baby jail. Yeah.
So funny.
Anyway, so I will put you back in baby jail. You're being so bad. It's just like her little like crate that we have. Anyway, so this was from Maple Bartsy. It says, I was looking through Five Nights at Freddy's fan art in 2014. It says, and I loved how fluffy / adorable the scary animatronics were drawn. So I started seeing more and more cute standing animal art. And now here I am almost 10 years later. That's wild. I keep forgetting how old Five Nights at Freddy's is and like, like people are still raving about it. There's still games and content coming about it, like even a decade later, which is just wild to me.
I kind of wonder, like all these games that are made, if the developers, they themselves are just like a teeny bit furry.
Or if they have to be.
Yeah.
100%. They have to be. Have you seen Glam Rock Bonnie? That's a gay man. Like, that's a gay man right there.
There's a new, like, I think it's a new Switch game that's coming out. It's either on Steam or Switch, but it's basically Animal Crossing, but with dinosaurs, like baby dinosaurs.
Yes. Oh my God. I saw that.
And I'm like, oh my God, that looks so adorable.
It does. Okay. Have you seen the other one? Oh my God.
Palia? I can't.
No,
not Palia.
Whisker Waters.
No.
Oh my God. It's so cute. You get to make your own like little chibi looking cat and you get to fish and stuff. It's so cool.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
That. From SMT Zap. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. Decided to join a Discord server one day to see if I'd enjoy the community since I was leaving a slowly dying one. And safe to say, I'm loving this one. Well, now I have to wonder is what the slowly dying one was. So
I have unfortunately been part of a dying and or now dead Discord. I visited it, I think, a couple days ago. And I was like, wow,
Discord.
Nobody has been on this like server since like probably like 6 years ago. And I'm like, holy shit.
I don't like Discord. I've tried using it. I feel like there's too many options. And then the options themselves are really confusing to me. It's like an old person trying to use a smartphone for the first time. That's how I feel Discord is for me.
Okay, I'm putting you back in baby jail. Let me put my cat back in baby jail.
While you do that, I'll go on to the next one.
Okay, cool. Hang on.
Okay, so the next one is from Gavin Von Blackmuzzle. Gavin Von Blackmuzzle. Thank you. Doggo watched the documentary movie Fursonas on iTunes. So that's another one. From Josh Wolf, One day when I was little, I looked up Robin Hood on Google and found a crap ton of fan art of him, safer work fan art. I started to draw my own characters based on Robin Hood and would make my own adventures with my Sona. So that's a common, I've not one that I've, I mean, it's a common answer when I've talked to people that they watch like a Robin Hood-esque movie from Disney or like 101 Dalmatians, and they really fell in love with it. And that's kind of where they started.
I'm back.
Okay. From Akris or Akris. It's like one of those words you say over and over again. The more you say it, the more you think that it's not a word. Unrestricted internet access as a young age.
This, yeah.
That's pretty self-explanatory right there.
I actually am fortunate and unfortunate enough to have grown up in a household where we didn't have a computer in the home. So like I know some of like the references from when like I would go to like my cousin's house or like the local library, but like some of the internet stuff, I don't know what people are talking about. Or like, it's probably why I don't know how to use a computer a lot, because I was like, I don't know.
Do you want to know what the first two computers were in our house when I was like, I think I was in first or second grade, was a Gateway and an Acer desktop. So there was a Gateway one, and those are old. I don't even think they make Gateways anymore, but they still make Acers. I have a laptop on my desk. It's an Acer. It's a really powerful one. So
nice.
I like Acer. Okay, moving on.
Oh, shoot, I had a tiny, tiny burp. All right, am I doing this one?
Yeah.
Cool. This one, I think, is called Alaski TM.
Oh my God, I'm just full of burps today. I'm so sorry.
That one was okay. That one sounded almost bad. Okay.
It tasted bad.
Ew. At least it wasn't a fart. True. All right. Anyway, so this is from Alaski TM. I love the TM on the corner. It says, it was sometime around 2019, and I wandered upon an Australian furry streamer. I think their name is Faux Films. It says, anyway, I became a somewhat frequent viewer of their content, and lo and behold, I became a furry, LMAO. Says, that's sort of uninteresting, sorry.
That actually is pretty close to how I got myself further into the fandom. It's not how I found the fandom, it's how I got further into it. There's something Wolf. There's a couple of videographers on YouTube that do a lot of like, sometimes they do music videos, sometimes they do like convention videos. Let's see if I can find. So if I type in like Midwest Fur Fest, just says because that's on the mind for a reason.
A reason. Like, you're very vague. You're like, a reason.
A reason.
And you don't even have to, like, you know, be explicit about it. Just a reason. I know the reason.
Gosh, I can't even think of who the person is. There's just a couple of, like, really well-known videographers. One of them actually developed their own cooling vest for fursuits.
Oh.
And
I know who you're talking about, too, and I can't remember who they are.
Don't ream me for not knowing this, but just know that I know who these people are. So they're just really good videographers. And so the more I watched those, the more I fell in love with it, especially with American versus like European furry filmmakers. They're really like different, especially the styles too. Like I think when I started, let's see, when did I start? 2012? I'd say between 2012 and 2016, there was a lot of like more realistic type fursuits that were being done in Europe itself. And so a lot of the videos that were done with that style esque really kind of got me into the whole like fantasy type role play type thing. So yeah. Easy Wolf. That's the one. That's what it's called. Easy Wolf. Are you there?
Yes. I'm so sorry. My brain like left me for a second, but yes, Easy Wolf. You're right.
Yeah. So if I go to Easy Wolf's like YouTube, they got like 20,000 subscribers, like 60 videos. They make really very well done videos. And so
come up because I know that I've heard of them.
Yeah. I'm trying to find the one that I really, really liked. They do sometimes work with Kenora, if you guys know who that is. I think that's the blue purple fursuiter that's really commonly known for all their like stunts that they do. They do a lot of like parachuting stunts and all that fun jazz. So
the caps lock button is so close to where I want to type and it's throwing me off.
Oh my God. That fursuit looks like a female version of Felix. What?
What?
It's the Mary XXXmas from room 336. It's 11 years ago.
Oh my.
But if you go like, if you go to Easy Wolf's YouTube like channel and you scroll down, you'll see a lot of these more feral looking type fursuits. And I really liked that style. I still do. It very depends on how it's made. I don't like them to be too like detailed because then that kind of, I don't know, it just turns me off. Not like sexually, it just turns me off like, not a big fan of this. So
Easy tube
sounds easy like tube. Sounds like a lube. Okay, while you're looking for that, the last comment is from Robin. He said a friend in the LGBTQ plus youth group was a furry and that made me interested in it, but I was sort of in denial until I was listening to your podcast, so our podcast, interview a Fatty Dragonite. Still one of my favorite interviews when I realized, wait a minute, only a furry would listen to this and the rest is history.
That's so awesome.
So true. So people find the fandom in many different ways. It's through cartoons. Sometimes it's through.
Ooh, we just got to. Oh, this is. Sorry,
the games we play. No, you're fine. Through the LGBTQ plus community. It could be through comics. It could be the fact that you really like stuffed animals or you really like Build-A-Bear. It could be almost anything really that gets you into it. And the more that piques your interest, the more curiosity starts to play and you really get into it. And that's generally how people get where they need to go in this world. So it's really cool. I really appreciate everyone who answered on this. I'm sure we're going to get more as this continues on. So, oh, it looks like we got another one. So if I just refresh this.
Yeah, I was just going to say that Ruby commented on there.
Ruby, where is Ruby's? Oh, Ruby said that I stumbled upon the Therian community and that led to the furry community. So that's pretty cool. So that's that. So however you find the fandom, that's how you find it. There's no specific way to find the fandom. It's basically just your curiosity that gets you where you need to go.
Did we want to talk about how we found the fandom or?
Porn!
Wow!
It's not a secret. I've talked about it multiple times. Yeah, we could say how we found it. So I found the fandom from, it's not an existent website anymore, but it was from XTube. And I remember like just searching for something. And then like so a couple of fursuit videos popped up of like fursuiters having sex, which I'm going to go ahead and just say, yes, fursuiters have sex. No, that is not the dominant thing in the fandom. It's so, absolutely.
Yeah,
a lot of people think that fursuiters having sex is like the number one thing in the fandom, and it's not. it's part of it, but it's not like the whole thing. But I came across some videos and I started watching them, and I'm like, this is really interesting. And I'm like, what are these like costumes? So I started searching for these like, I guess you could say animal costumes. And I came across this Midwest Fur Fest, ironically, another Midwest Fur Fest reference here back in like 2014. And that led me then to watch videos of Don't Hug Cacti, like when they did all of their stuff before, you know, before recent stuff, which then led me to watching Easy Wolf. And then from there, it was just kind of like this rabbit hole of discovering what the hell this was, and it really got me interested, and that's pretty much how I got into fandom. So yeah, it started with porn, but then it really started watching, it came with going from one to the next, the next, the next, and that's just kind of where I'm at now.
Yeah, mine has a bit more humble beginnings, so if I don't know.
Oh, exactly. Good for you.
I'm sorry, I'm just being honest. Listen, I'm not shaming because, listen, full disclosure, I watch a lot of porn, just being honest, Lord.
Despite what people say, porn is not bad. It just depends on how much you watch it.
There is bad porn, but it's not necessarily bad. Anyway, yeah. Goodness, what an odd topic to bring up while we're talking about young furries and finding the fandom.
But it's how we found the fandom.
This is true. This is true. Doesn't necessarily have to be young in age. You just, you know, new and beginning of the fandom. Anyway, yeah. So I found the fandom, I think, primarily through my brother, who's also a furry. He's a caribou. And like as a kid, like we would just sit down, we would draw like anthropomorphic animals all the time. And eventually he started disappearing and like going at like weekends and stuff, like places. And I didn't know. My brother and I, keep in mind, are like 8 years apart, so he's 8 years older than me, and so he would go off like on weekends, and I'm like, where in the world is he going? And then like he'd come back and he's like, oh my god, I had a great time. And he'd like show me like stuff, and I'm like, wow, I don't know where you're going, but like it must be a magical place. And then obviously I got older and I got into like different fandoms, like the My Little Pony fandom and like stuff like that. And then that kind of led to me discovering that there was actually a place for my interest in anthropomorphic animals and all of my drawings that I ever did as a child. And I was like, oh my god, this is great. And then that led into like me finding like famous ones like Picari Roo and like Telephone. Let's see, there's a, oh, what's the one that we interviewed a couple years ago? I can't remember. I'm drawing a blank. He's a coyote.
What kind of coyote?
Is it I Heart Coyote? What is it? Oh my god, I can't. I'm drawing a blank. Anyway, I like his stuff. I can't remember what his stuff is, but I can't remember his name. I'm drawing a blank, but that's okay. But that's kind of how I found the fandom, is just kind of through mainly my brother, who's also a furry. And then like eventually we ended up going to a convention and whatnot together, a couple of them. But yeah, that's just kind of how I found it. You found it through porn. And that's it.
I'm sorry. I'm just totally responding to something on Twitter.
Oh no. what is it? Spicy?
Oh, it's spicy.
Oh, on a scale of 1 to 10, how spicy?
It's so spicy that it goes along with our bullet point the later down about litter boxes in schools.
Oh no.
So
no.
Yeah, so I'm not going to talk about it until we get to it, because how I'll just say the irony of it happening in my state. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh god.
Yeah, so that's how people have found the fandom.
Hooray.
Now, the next part, this next part is probably, it goes along with discovering the fandom, because you have to learn to navigate through everything. And that's navigating the chaos of the fur, the feathers, and the scales. And, you know, if I really wish there was a handbook that was made, there are a couple of sites that have something called the Furry Fandom Handbook, but they're not really well done, or they're incomplete. And I don't feel like you could actually create a handbook without it being a live source document where it's constantly being updated, like Wikipedia, for instance. Honestly, we should create one.
We should, yes. I agree.
We really should. It would just be like the basics of everything. But I asked a few people what a handbook about the furry fandom should consist of. So let's go to that. Oh,
you know what? You remember the app thing that I was talking about, like that I came up with like a while ago? We should include it in the app so it's constantly updating to new standards.
Well, yeah, I should message that guy back. You know, oh, 6 months later. God.
Yes.
Oh, we actually had someone that emailed back saying, hey, I saw your thing about this, and I'd be willing to like work with you. And I don't think I responded back. I meant to, but I just didn't. So, oh well.
Oh man. Yeah, well, maybe they'll listen to this one and be like, hey, knock, knock, knock.
Womp, womp.
Womp, womp. But seriously, like if we ever do like create like a, like an app or something like that, that would be really cool, because again, we could update it to like new standards or new hip lingo, and then like update like, you know, furry history and like any current and or past events. That would be so cool.
It would be cool. Then we could like feature, if TikTok is still around, because I don't know how much longer it'll be around the US.
I will cry, because I use that every single day. I've also like started a little bit of a tangent here, but so my insurance denied my top surgery.
Rude.
It sucks. So like they denied coverage at all for top surgery, even though like I have full doctor, like, you know, whatever. They're like, yep, let's do it. And then like, even my therapist was like, here, have a letter of, you know, recommendation/confirmation, like, hey, you know, so-and-so blah, blah, top surgery. Anyway, so I started a fundraiser on GoFundMe and I used, because I did an estimate. Unfortunately, it's going to cost anywhere from like $10,000 to $12,000 out of pocket. And
can you maybe like look for a program that'll help you cover part of the cost?
Right. That's kind of what I'm looking for, looking at. Okay. I'd heard of something called Point of Pride. And so like, I might work with them if I can, unless Mercury Stardust, like the lovely trans handy ma'am, wants to like donate someone. That'd be great.
I just had a thought. Oh, no, it's so bad.
Oh no.
So okay, you could like submit a float in the Pride parade. And it's just you and you're flashing everyone with boobs. And it's just like there's a banner that just says chop the top, and then there's a GoFundMe link.
Okay, listen. I 100% would do this. No shame.
I would. So the funny thing is you would be on one side. I would totally be on the other side flashing my man boots and be like, chop the top. Yes. God.
That's awesome.
It's only when we're recording do we come up with these random ass ideas. Yes, I've noticed.
It's only when we're recording and only like, it's like, okay, I think it's like when we're recording, we share one brain cell, finally.
Yeah, right? It's generally when it happens.
We share one brain cell. It's going everywhere. It is constantly on a tangent, but it is together somehow.
But people like our tangents, though. That's what makes it fun.
I hope so, because I get so like anxiety that I'm like, oh my God, there's got to be somebody out there that's like, oh my God,
just get
back on topic.
Going. Well, they come can just on. Fast forward. They fast forward 30 minutes later and we're still talking about it. We're just like, damn it.
Damn it. They're still talking about the one time we started in the elevator.
Just get on with it. I honestly have been like that with some people. I'm just like, I'm over it. And then I just move on. So
I wonder if Crow gets tired of it or if he just shakes his head and is just like, yep, here we go.
Well, okay. So Crow, have to know your thoughts on this. I'm sure he'll interject and say something.
I guarantee he's gonna be like, you know what? Sometimes it's funny, but sometimes I'm like, oh my God. Maybe that's it. Maybe he's the one that's like, oh my God, guys, get back on topic.
Let's keep going.
So I'm just gonna say, like, I enjoy their side tangents just as much as y'all do, but I have to listen to their side tangents like 3, maybe 4 times over. So like the first time it's hilarious. I love it. It's so much fun. The second time it's still kind of funny. By like the fourth time, it's just kind of like, all right, here's the side tangent, just let it go out. And I didn't honestly like their side tangents for editing, just because I don't do a whole lot of editing for their side tangents. I let them laugh it out. I let them breathe everywhere. Yeah, that's something you guys might not know, but I actually edit out a lot of breathing. But they go on side tangents and I love it because I just get to sit back and just have fun with it. There is one thing though, especially whenever they have side tangents that's like a name or something that I know, and I'm just sitting here having to listen to it over and over again and practically wanting to scream at my headset to just be like, this is what they're talking about. How do you not know this? This is like immediate knowledge to me every single time. So it's sometimes kind of like whenever you're an older person watching Dora the Explorer and Dora's like, do you know where the hill is? And it's just like right behind her and you're just sitting there pointing at the screen like, Dora, it's right there. That's kind of how it is sometimes. That's kind of my point of view on it. But yeah.
It's like, I keep thinking I should probably submit the notes to Crow so he knows like where to go for, like forward, and I never do, and I'm just like, I'm such a bad host. I should really like
give him no guidebook whatsoever. You're just like,
no,
here's this.
Like I just say, you will. Here's the episode, here's when I'd like it uploaded, it's all yours. And I give him 100% freedom to cut and do whatever he needs to do to the episode. So I really should give him the notes. I'll probably give him the notes. Maybe we'll see.
Yeah. To his credit, he always does a wonderful, wonderful job. And
he does an amazing job.
He does. Like, and I appreciate him a lot. And I know you appreciate. We all appreciate him.
We do.
Yeah. All hail Crow. Crow is the real. The real MVP.
Because if we're going to go on this tangent that we're already on, I'm just going to say editing sucks ass. It takes so long to do. I know, because I did it before Crow came along, and it would take me like all week to do, because I'd have to like take time to like listen, to rewind, to edit, to rewind. And it's just like back and forth, and it takes forever. And finally, when I found someone who knows how I like it, knows where I want to go with it, and then they do their own spin, it worked out perfectly. And I'm like, thank Jeebus. So I've always thought about maybe bringing on another editor, but the problem with doing that is that I wonder if, you know, we'll get one episode that's done one way and we'll get another episode that's done a different way. And I don't want to mess up the inconsistencies. Mm-hmm. But that has been a thought in the back of my mind. No worries, Crow. I'm not replacing you.
Sure, you're not.
No, we could never.
Yeah.
We could never.
We could never.
Uh-huh.
Bro's all right. Amazing. So all right. if a basic handbook was created for the furry fandom, for those just discovering all things furry, we asked, what do you think should be in it? So Josh Wolf said, don't feel pressured to buy a fursuit. It's like buying a car. Just because you don't have a car doesn't mean you aren't human. So I kind of made a point. I've never really thought about comparing it like this, but buying a car is very much like buying a fursuit, because you have to research, you know, what kind of fursuit you want, who you want to get it from, how much is it going to cost, where are they located, shipping and all that jazz. What are the reviews on this fursuit maker? And the thing goes, so it's like make and model versus fursuit maker versus fursuit style, the cost, the reviews, everything, like all of that pretty much compares to like buying a car. So, and they make a good point. You do not need a fursuit to be in the furry fandom.
No, you do not.
No, you don't. I'm just going to read these.
Oh, okay.
And did you want to read them?
I don't mind. You do whatever. Okay. I am just your happy, happy co-host.
I'll just
to throw them. You onto all of the tangents.
Gavin Von Blackmuzzle said, possibly a long chapter on the furry language and the correct use of emojis and stickers.
RAR XD.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh my God, yes. Like there's definitely a furry dialect when it comes to the language of the furry fandom. So they're like, yes, and here isn't even someone created a primal language to the furry fandom, which that's so funny.
Oh my God.
It's not just that one. I've seen another one where someone actually created, like they actually legitimately created an alphabet and a language for you to use for the furry fandom. Like it's its own thing.
That is wild. That is
insane. Not going to find it on Duolingo though. So don't try looking there for it. And then lastly, SMTZap said, aside from how to stay safe both online and in real fur meets and cons, I believe it should include the wide varieties of hobbies furries have, since most prominent ones they see are art and fursuiting. I'd love to see more love to the music or to the film side of the community. So hobbies is a big thing in the fandom too. They're right. You see a lot of art and fursuit, but there's more that goes into it. There's the art of fursuit making. There's the art of the art itself, because there's hundreds of styles mm-hmm. and artists that do it. But there's other things that people do in the fandom. Filming dancing. Is one. I've seen dancing. Oh, yeah. Dancing's a huge dancing part of the fandom.
Huge. I have always, I don't know if I'll ever get to that, because like, I don't know, but it's always been like a dream of mine to like perform one time at a fursuit dance competition. And I haven't done it yet. And I really want to. So I have
a YouTube playlist, music playlist specifically for possible fursuit dances, music that I like to listen to. And then I kind of like, as I'm listening to it at work, I'll be like, okay, I could probably do like this move and I could probably do this move myself. I don't really know how much, I just don't really know how to dance. That's why I don't go to dances, but I'd love to learn.
So. Oh my gosh. See, I'm not like, I don't, me personally, I don't know. I haven't watched myself dance, so I don't know how good of a dancer I am.
Yeah.
But like, I like to dance. I probably dance very goofily. Like, but I think it would be so much fun. First and foremost, you should definitely send me that playlist because I would love to hear it.
Okay.
Because I don't know. I'm open to new music. Also, I've realize that a lot of the music that you have shared through like past podcast episodes and like whatnot, I'm like, that's a pretty bomb song. Like, for example, I don't know if you remember it. I'm gonna look it up on my, because I saved it to my Spotify recently because I rediscovered it while listening to a saved episode on my old iPhone because I used to save like for media episodes. And there was one song that you mentioned, I think it was called Starlight. Hang on, let me see.
Oh, Starlight, Star Bright.
I don't think that's...
Dun, 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 dun.
Maybe that's it. Hang on. Oh, it's Starlight, Could You Be Mine.
Is it from...
Don Diablo and Matt Nash.
Oh, that's a different one.
Well, it's the one that you recommended. Hang on. Let me see if I can turn the volume up lit. Let me find the actual part where you... Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember that song. Okay.
That one. You suggested it like years ago, and I saved it years ago, like on my iPhone. And I was like, oh, my God. And then I rediscovered it. And I was like, oh, space. So now when I hear that song, I think of you. So that's your theme song for me.
There's another song that I really like now. It's called Starlight Brigade.
Okay.
And it's from TWRP, but it also features Dan from Game Grumps.
Yes.
And it's such an amazing song, and I love listening to it. My current playlist right now has a variety of like music. So I've got things from an artist called Bimini, which is God Save This Queen, from Fandroid, High Noon is a good one. I've been listening to a lot of Tom Carty, who's like a comedian in Australia, but they create a lot of these like songs that are just so fucking hilarious that I have to listen to them. The Living Tombstone I listen to. Let's see. I've got a few Lady Gagas like John Wayne and The Free Woman.
Fucking Lady Gaga killed me in Fortnite last night.
Oh man, bitch. Glass Animals is one group. What is this?
Sorry, keep going.
Oh my god, it's so funny.
I just had to share it to you because I just happened to come upon it and I'm like, oh, you're still playing Pokemon, right? So I was like, here you go.
So from like my dance room teen music, I've got 5 tracks on there. So I've got one called Burn Up the Dance. It's from Dylan Francis and Skrillex. The Last Goodbye from Odessa. I'm not sure how to pronounce this one because it's in German, but it's Ein Mensch Rent from Frittenbudge. Mm. Then I Never Stay in Love with Steven and Red Flags from Tom Carty. That's really funny, actually, a song. I don't know why it's in the list, but I thought this would be a really good like duo, like tag team kind of a dance routine.
Yes.
I have lots of different ones. I have like, so I call them like chart prep one, chart prep two. These are these different lists because I do things called chart prepping when I'm at work. And so I have specific lists that I like to listen to throughout the day. And so I listen to, yeah. So I just have a lot of lists. I'll share them one day. But yeah, so like fursuit dancing is a huge hobby. There's also, I'm trying to think here, making things in the fandom. So if you ever go to like the dealer's den or the artist alley. I know people just say a lot of art, and art is a blanket term. Underneath the whole art blanket term, there's tons of different things that people do for art. Like Sparrow, for instance, she does a lot of wood burning and it looks amazing. She does some pretty fantastic stuff. She also is recently been posting a lot of, have you seen her Ma fursuits?
I don't think so.
Okay, let me.
I'm going to have to look. I can look her up.
Let me enlighten you.
Okay.
She creates these things called Mega Maws. It's just the muzzle of the first suit, essentially, but it's like life size. So, you know, people who have that whole like, you know, Vore-esque type thing could really get into this. And she did it once before and I'm like, oh my God, this is such a great idea. Why hasn't anyone else done this? So this is like, it was from a list. I went to the dealer's thing. I wanted to see how much it was selling for.
Oh my God. I love it.
Yeah.
Hold on. She did that?
She made that. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Right? She's a really good fursuit maker. Bro. She just doesn't, she's not open to the public anymore, but she does, like, she made my fursuit. She's a really good job at it. So,
dude, okay.
Lots of talent there.
If she would be willing, and like, if I ever come into like a little bit more money, like whatever, like extra money that I can frivolously spend, 10 out of 10, I'll be like, hey, listen, I know you're not open to public anymore.
Just contact her.
Like a favor.
Like, I bet she totally
10
would.
Out of 10. Holy crap. That's amazing.
I totally think she would.
I really want like a rainbow tiger. Not a rainbow. A pink tiger. I want a pink tiger.
Oh, I love pink. I do love pink.
I have made peace with the color pink because I used to viscerally hate it as a child. And it's because like pink was like the girly color. And like I was like, as a child, this is because I didn't realize I was trans. So like as a child, I was like, ew, pink is disgusting. Ew. But now like as an adult and whatever, I just don't care anymore. I'm like, you know what? Pink is a dope color and it's my favorite. So I love pink. But I've always wanted to make a pink tiger persona and maybe give him like little like blue top surgery scars because I think that would be cool. I just want a pink tiger persona.
I think if I were to do pink, it would be like a Laffy Taffy pink type fursuit. Ooh. So it wouldn't smell like Laffy Taffy, but I would hand out Laffy Taffys that have like the jokes on the inside of them.
That would be cute.
Yeah. I don't want to do cotton candy because that's been done.
This is true.
There are gamer furries that play lots of games, both online and board game-esque. There are singers out there. There are a lot of band furries out there. Pretty much anything you can think of as a hobby-wise, there is a furry-esque side to it. So there's a lot of hobbies in the furry fandom, which is really cool. But the handbook, I feel like, would be a kind of like a basic tool where, you know, okay, you know, I found the fandom. What do I do next? So, you know, here's how you create a fursona. And then there would be a whole like chapter or two about fursona creation. And we'll go into that next because that's like a whole thing, you know, like where to go, what to expect, how to create. And then, you know, there'd be another thing of like finding groups and friends, how to find them, you know, Facebook groups, Twitter groups, Instagram groups, Discord and Telegram groups, all those things. So I wish there was like a book, and maybe we'll create one where it's a basic just understanding of the fandom that's always evolving that people can use that really would help them kind of navigate the ins and outs of the fandom because it's a lot. There's a lot.
Yeah.
To go through.
I agree. It's a hot mess, but we love it anyway.
Do you know, like, okay, so I tried to explain it one way of how I see the fandom when I first joined, but I'm going to go back and kind of try a different way. You know, in Iron Man, the first movie where, I think it's in the first or the second movie, where Iron Man is trying to, like, figure out how to make his, like, little ring. Is it the second one? He does something where he slaps his hand and then he opens it up and there's, like, this huge orb of, like, things. I think it's in the second one.
That sounds like a second one.
Yeah, okay, so I think it's the second one. It's like, I think it has to do with the, like, the World's Fair one. But he opens it up and there's just this huge, like, globe, like sphere of like things going on. And that's kind of like how I see the fandom. When I first entered it, I thought it was simple, but then it just opened up like a freaking universe. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm overwhelmed and I don't know what to do. And that's kind of like what it was. So hopefully, you know, we'll create something like this and it'll be a little bit easier for y'all. The next thing though, this is not necessarily something you have to do, but it is something that is very prominent in the fandom, and that's making a fursona. So why don't we go over this real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. Did you want me to go over it?
Yeah. Oh. So,
okay, cool.
Well, because I wanted you to talk about cosplay versus not stealing.
Oh, design. Yeah, absolutely.
And then from there, we'll go over the bullet points below that.
Yeah, for sure. Because honestly, like I've kind of gotten, in more recent years, gotten way more into like cosplay, and like there is a difference between fursuiting and creating like a fursona versus like cosplaying a character that's already made. Like cosplay and fursuiting are very similar, but they are also very different. So making a fursona, I know that we have talked about it in other episodes. Basically what a fursona is a almost like a persona. So a persona would be like, hey, this is like my alter person or like my version of like a perfect me, or even just like you as like a cartoon or whatever you want to you know, personify. A fursona is self-explanatory, is yourself or how you would view yourself, how you want to be as an animal or an animal-like being. So just an anthropomorphic animal per se. So for example, my fursona has evolved and changed and whatnot. My current main fursona that I use, their name is Paradox. They are a hyena with deer antlers. Like, that's pretty much what they are. So, and that's that. That is my personal fursona. That is who I would like, you know, to be like. That's what I would be if I was like an animal, if there was some sort of furry world like Zootopia or something. So that's kind of what a fursona is. It's what you think you would be as an animal or like an animal-like person. It could be a hybrid or even anything that's like non-existent or even extinct. There's dinosaur furs. There's winged furs. There's like avian aliens stuff. Yep. There's also, I love the aquatic ones, the ones that people make like fish hybrids out of or even are like fish. Like, they're really cool.
What about like the airplane ones?
Oh my God, yes. Recent years, people have started making themselves into like airplane furries.
And like objects.
And like weird, yeah, objects. Like mixing objects with like animals. And it's so interesting.
At first, like several years ago, I was like, how is this a thing? And I wasn't really, I didn't like it. It was very original, but it was very odd. But now that I've seen more of it in the fandom, it's starting to grow on me, and I kind of like it. It's really interesting.
Yeah, they are really interesting. But the main difference between like a fursuit or creating your own fursona versus cosplay, and like I said before I started explaining it all, but like, don't, if you're going to start in the furry fandom and you see a fursuit that's already made or even somebody's fursona that's already made, you are allowed to think that it's cool. You're allowed to be like, wow, like that's so cool. And like, it resonates with me. Don't copy it.
Yeah, don't
copy
it.
That's called stealing. Don't make another fursuit or a like what or a cosplay of that fursona, because that is stealing. It is not cool. You will get into a lot of trouble. There was an instance where a new furry, somebody new to the fandom, found Beauty of the Base's fursuit, like their main fursuit. Everybody knows who Beauty of the Base is.
Everybody does.
If you don't, give them a look up. It's just Beauty of the Base. And they have very, very, like, what, how would I want to say?
I'd say very articulated details.
Yes, thank you. That's the word. Very articulated, very easy to point out. Anyway, so this person who had joined the fandom saw the suit, thought it was amazing. And again, that's okay. You can that's think okay. that it's amazing. Yeah. Because it is. It's, again, very articulated, very, very cool. But they made a suit very similar to that, almost identical. And then they wore it to a con and got lots of backlash. And they were very confused because they were like, whoa, wait, isn't it like cosplay? And then somebody had to, you know, explain, hey, this isn't cosplay. Beauty of the Base themselves actually found this like person, was like, hey, I'm glad you realize this is cosplay. Thank you for, she's like, please don't do that anymore. So I don't think that they're going to do it anymore. I think they've actually made their own fursona. And there's also, there's lots of tools at your disposal to create your own personal fursona. And there's literally thousands of different species of animals and fish and birds and, you know, even insects, you know, to help, you know, make your fursona part plane. Okay. Like there's endless creativity, and that's what's so magical about the furry fandom, is that you can be anything you want to be. So like, there's endless creativity and possibilities, and there's a whole array spectrum of colors that you can make yourself a sparkle dog if that's what you want to be, which that's a whole like species in its own, which I guess we could, that then segues into our next little topic.
Well, and I do want to say, like, you can cosplay in the furry fandom. You can cosplay at a convention, but you can't cosplay as someone else's creation. The whole, did you already go over, like, how cosplaying itself is manufactured already?
Yes, but no.
Okay, so to best describe cosplay is basically dressing up or creating your a rendition or fan art character creation based off of something that already exists, like Spider-Man, Batman, anime, Star Wars. Those are huge things. And people do, you know, dress up as stormtroopers or Jedis or they'll cross play and they'll do like Star Trek into Star Wars type of thing. And that's fine. They can do that. That's like, that's the whole thing about cosplay. But in the furry fandom, the whole fandom is based off of your own creation of yourself and your own world type of thing. And so what you can't do is just go and be like, oh my God, I love this fursuit. Or I love this art. I'm going to do the same thing. Can't do that. And you can't just go and cosplay as someone else's creation as well. That's not, that's why they call it fursuiting, is it's your fursuit that you created, a design that you made, that you went to have someone else make. That's how that works. It's not you creating a fursuit or a costume based off of, let's say, Dutch Angel Dragon, and then saying that it's yours. It's just that type of play isn't okay in the fandom. It's weird. The rules are kind of weird, but at the same time, they're pretty self-explanatory.
Basically, don't be an asshole and steal somebody else's fursona or character. That's yeah. not nice. That's not
now,
nice.
Now, you can be inspired by someone's character. Like, okay, you can go and see, oh my God, I really love the Beauty of the Beast fursuit, and be inspired to create something not exactly like it, but something kind of like it. So...
ooh, you know what? This makes a perfect clarification that we should make.
So we should clarify.
Let's clarify this. Do not take somebody's character and just change the colors.
Yes, or don't the features.
Do that. Yes, or don't just be like, well, I'm just going to tweak it a little bit. No. Don't do that. You can – okay, so I'm trying to think of a good example of like
– like, okay, you know what? Beauty the Beast is known to have speakers and rigid, like, just – hardcore design built into their fursuit. Now, that doesn't mean that other fursuiters can't build fursuit like speakers. I've seen other fursuits that have speakers built into their fursuits, lighting designs, LEDs, really rigid stuff, but it's not like you could say, okay, yeah, I see this fursuit, and you could put it next to a Beauty the Beast fursuit. And by the way, Beauty the Beast is a fursuit maker. Mm-hmm. They do have a lot of fursuits, but the one that we're referencing to is the yellow and black one, right?
Yes. Yeah, yes, okay. That one.
You could put that two of those suits together, but you could obviously tell, okay, yeah, this one definitely isn't a Beauty of the Beast design. It's someone else's. And that's something that's okay. But you got to be really careful on your designs and everything.
Yes.
Let's go into what a fursona is. So according to Wikipedia... so a fursona is a persona that refers to a character, a persona, an alter ego, an avatar, an identity assumed by a person or a player normally associated with the furry fandom. Essentially, it's you as a character or something that represents you in the fandom. Now, it doesn't have to be exactly like you. You can create someone that you wish you were or something that you really like, or maybe it is just you, but in the personality of the character that you create. That's kind of like how mine is. Mine is the personality of me in there. So whatever you see as my persona, you get a 100% of what my personality is. And I don't lie about it. Not that you don't have to, but.
You can also have multiple like personas. You don't have to have like just one. Like for example, we were talking about earlier in the show where I want to make like a pink tiger persona. So like, I think I would make that one that would more represent like my kind of like silly, like, you know, I think more extroverted side, where I think Paradox actually, which is like my current more used one, just kind of represents, I think, I don't know, like maybe my more reserved or more like carefully thought out side is also, I think, more of my spiritual side, because just because of like their design and like I think the time period of when they were created and whatnot. So I'm not a religious person, but I do like pagan stuff, so.
My fursona is, I'm sorry, I'm going to not necessarily call out the person who said this. My fursona's name is Space Bear Sparks. And yes, I am a bear. Do you know why I have to say that? Does that make any?
No.
Okay, so we have a Telegram chat. This person's going to be like, no, I can't believe they're saying something.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to say who
it
is.
Did I miss it?
They were like, oh my God, you're a bear? And then someone else in chat's like, well, yeah, it's literally in their name. Their name is Space Bear Sparks.
That's hilarious.
So I just kind of have to say that.
Oh my God.
So I'm a polar bear, but I'm not the typical polar bear colors. I have black and blue, mostly for my fur. My glasses that I wear are rainbow. I do actually do have rainbow glasses that I wear, and I wear them every Friday as a celebration of pride and everything. And then it has colored hair. So the typical colors can be anywhere between blue, purple, and pink. I generally do color my hair every like 4 to 6 weeks, and pink or blue is generally in the color. So it kind of represents me to a T, and he's a little chunkier and I'm chunky. So it works. And that's kind of like my character. But that character came after multiple renditions. Like at first it was just a husky, then it was a husky wolf, then it was a husky bear, I think, or a wolf bear, and then it became
a busky.
Then it became a bear, and that's where I'm at right now. And I think I might do one more rendition where I actually add just maybe a couple of horns, and I'll call it like a unibear. So it's,
yes.
So it's a unicorn bear. Because on the back of my Fursona's ref sheet, I actually have a outline of a unicorn in rainbow. So that's kind of like, I find myself to be like a unicorn, just a unique little guy, just kind of doing his thing. Fursonas usually consist of a name. So names are, I find that people have a hard time figuring out what their name is, and names do change over time. I think at first I was Space Dog Spiff. Then I became Space Bear Sparks. No, I can't remember. I've come up with a couple of different names. But you can use like generators, like online generators to create a name. You can be really creative with it. You can really just call it Bill if you want to.
Like, Bill?
Yeah, just Bill. but it really just depends on how you want to go about naming your species. It doesn't matter. It's just however you want to call it. As long with that, there are usually distinctive colors, markings, body features. You know, so if you're an aquatic animal, you might have scales and gills. You might be, I've seen some that are aquatic that also have little tiny wings, which are super cute, and big wings. Different types of paw pad features, different features from different types of species altogether. So there's just hundreds of thousands of ways to create a fursona and a character. It's just up to you to choose how you want to do it. And you don't have to keep it like that either. There's the basic, like, most well-known types of fursonas that are created. So like foxes, huskies, wolves, Dutch angel dragons. And I think right now Sturgles are kind of becoming like a thing. And then
They're coming back. The cheese wheels are coming back.
Yeah, the cheese wheels are coming back. And
somebody's going to get mad because I said that.
Well, it's either their head looks like a cheese wedge or a boat. You know, choose. There's a listener that does not care to like email us and make and let us know that they hate the fact that we make fun of Sturgles. But I'm sorry. I'm just putting it as it is. It looks like a freaking boat for a head or a cheese wedge. It's just kind of how it is. Get over it. That's just our perspective. So yeah, there's different ways to do it. Now, there is an episode that we did called Creating Original Species. And we also have one that was creating original fursonas. So we'll include those two episodes and the information below that you can go and listen to if you want to. Some of the information may change today, but there's different types of creating a fursona. There's things called like hybrids, which is when you take two or more animals and you merge them together, but you don't really, you change a couple of the features, but it's still, you're basically calling it like a wolfski, which is a husky wolf, or a skulf, which is what, a skunk wolf?
I think so.
Yeah. There's also, trying to think of all the different hybrids, and I'm just killing myself not thinking about them right now. All different types, and people will abbreviate the words for them. You can Google it and see what like different types of hybrids there are. And that's what that would be. It's not an original creation if you take a few different species and hybrid them together and then say, this is an original species that I came up with. This is the species called. That's not how that works. Creating an original character, an original species is literally coming up with a new concept that you have. So kind of going over that, we have to go into the three most common types of species, two are the most, but the third, the middle one's kind of I wouldn't say it's unknown. It's just mostly not known to be this type. And I'll go over that in a second. So you want to go over what an open species is?
Sure. Yeah. So open species is a species that anyone can make, but there's usually some strict rules and guidelines that you have to follow in order to create one. So a good example of these open type species is like Dutch angel dragons, manakits, sergals, and wicker beasts. So honestly, like I had no idea that manakits and sergals were so like restricted. That one I didn't know. I knew that wicker beasts and Dutch angel dragons were pretty restricted, yet still open. Dutch angel dragons, though, have a huge, huge fan following.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Like, you make one mistake in your, like, creation of your angel dragon, you're going to know in, like, 3 seconds. Because if you post it, you're like, this is my new Dutch angel dragon. They're going to be like, oh, my God, you can't have a ring around the muzzle. And, like, that's true. I think that's one of the rules, because I think Telephone has a ring around her muzzle. So like that was one thing you cannot do, is have a ring around your muzzle.
So Dutch angel dragons have really, really tight guidelines and rules that you have to follow. One of those weird rules is the naming of the fursona. You can't name the fursona based off of a media type name. So for instance, they have telephone, and I think the other radio. And then we got permission when we were for media to create a mascot called Broadcast. And she actually designed that one for us specifically. And we posted it on our
Affinity. I remember that.
And I kid you not, within 1 hour of me posting that, we had someone who was an admin. And I guess they have like this really big Fur Affinity group, and just this group alone, messaged me and saying, hey, you can't do this. You're not allowed to have this design. It has to be approved. You know, and they gave me like this whole freaking like novel post of like, why I couldn't do what I was doing. And then I responded back and saying, well, I actually do have permission to post this. And if you didn't notice in the bottom right corner, that is telephone signature. And if you want to run this past telephone, you're more than welcome to do this, but we have permission to do this. And the next one, she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. I didn't realize, blah, 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 blah. But like, I'm not kidding you. If like, you can't just like go and create something and then change the aspect of it. I guarantee you, you're going to have an admin on your ass in less than 5 hours.
Oh, yeah.
At least. Oh, yeah. It's intense. Like, their community is so tight knit. It's insane.
It's really weird because like, it's almost like a strange, I don't know how it's really
a cult. It.
Yeah. Kind of like a high society, be like, oh yes, you must have like these, but you cannot have this because that is against our culture. Like,
yeah,
no, it is so strange. Like when I first started, like in like actually getting in within the fandom, like telephone and like Dutch angel dragons were like one of my favorite things to like look at. Telephone and
they're super cute.
Like,
I'm not gonna lie,
they're really cute. But like all of a sudden, it blew up, and it. Honestly, I still have great love for telephone. And if I ever see her again in person, if I ever see them again in person, like I'm going to probably be like, hey, I think you're great. Like whatever. They're just really, really cool.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They're really cool and laid back.
Oh yeah, for sure. But like, honestly, the community itself, I now as a more adult, an older adult, I can't stand it. I can't. Like angel dragons, they irritate me to high heaven.
The thing I have, I love Dutch angel dragons. I think if you guys are listeners and you are Dutch angel dragons, I think that's great. The only thing that I have against Dutch angel dragons and the whole thing about open species or closed species is that it blocks creativity. So yes. It doesn't allow you to create more based off of what you want to do. You have to follow the rules and guidelines of that species in order to stay within it. Otherwise, you can't use it anymore and you'll have to do something else. That's why I like the furry fandom as it is, without having to deal with closed or open species, because it allows you to create as much as you want. But when you choose species like dads, that's like the abbreviation for it, manakits, sergals, and wicker beasts, you have to follow their rules. And I don't necessarily like that. That's not for me, at least. Some people do like that. I do not. I'm a fan of creativity and unlimited like processing power to do it, but you can't necessarily do that with
unlimited artistic liberty.
Thank you. That's what I was thinking.
Yes.
The next one is a semi-closed and open species. Now it's semi-closed as, or also as open, because I have been able to figure out, I've seen some articles that say that, so the species is protogens. Some say that they're open species. Some say that they're semi-closed. So that's why I put both of them in there, because I wasn't sure which one is the real one.
I think, if I might interject, I think they're actually semi-closed, because I think they only open them up for like a short bit, or you have to like actually get one commissioned specifically from the maker slash creator themselves. Yeah. And that's why they're so rare. Like, you, like, it's very, very hard to get into that like community, and very hard to get into actually making an original character in that category, because it is, it's semi-closed. So
protogens like are really cool. They're like yes, these futuristic alien species.
Like a visor.
It's yeah, really cool. And I've seen the fursuits of them, and they're so cool. But
yes,
there's so cool. Not a ton of them out there, and that's because there's strict, very strict rules and regulations on how you can create the character itself. And if you thought that was bad, then there's something called closed species. And surprisingly enough, I could not find any other varieties of closed species except for the one that's mentioned, which is called a primogen.
Which, so, I think it's made by the same person that made protogens.
It is. And I don't remember. We did a whole episode.
Yes,
about protogens and everything and primogens, but I don't remember who owns it now. I know.
Nope, my brain dumped it too.
I think it was owned by Malus Risu. I'm not sure if they're still the owner or if there's someone else who owns it. But with a closed species, you must, and this is in all caps, either ask or pay the creator to make or use a fursona. You cannot, in the fandom, and I'm not sure if it's trademarked or if it's copyrighted, but if you go and create a primogen character, you will be in so much trouble. I can't even, I words just can't get there.
We're talking like lawyer court, like trouble. Yeah,
you will not be in legal troubles if you do this. Like, you have to either ask the creator or pay them to create a primogen. I have yet to come across a primogen fursona. That is how rare they are. They are incredibly rare. So it's like when they make rare Poke cards and they only make 5 of them. In this particular case, they maybe make like 1 every couple of years. Maybe. Yep,
pretty much.
There might be other closed species, but like I said, I have not been able to find any. So if you come across one, follow the rules. If you don't, I'm just saying you've been warned. So yeah, and that's pretty much like it when it comes to fursonas. There's lots of things to know, lots of things to do. But keep in mind that if you're going to go into specific species like dads or manakits, make sure you do your research, then decide if you want to go forward. But also, yeah, listen to our manakit episode, because I think they're kind of dumb. So
admittedly, how do you see out of their eyes?
Like, how do you see out of their eyes? How?
You like, can't see like with a normal fursuit hardly anyway. Like your depth perception is way off, and like your field of vision is absolutely trash. How do you see in a manakit suit? Because their eyeballs are just little squints. Like, how do you see?
Seriously, I think it was Sparrow and I that did that particular episode. And
yes,
I
remember.
Ripped it apart.
Episode.
Because the lore behind it made absolute no sense. And we couldn't find just like one dedicated website that had the actual information correct, because one website would contradict what the other website would say. And one piece of information would not match up with the other piece of information. And I couldn't just help myself but just to rip it all apart.
Yes.
They're absolutely adorable. They're super cute. But whole like rules and like lore behind manakits is absolutely stupid, is what I'm just going to say.
They're like little T-Rex like shark dogs.
Yeah. And it's just like, you have to listen to that episode to understand why I think that it's a stupid species. Because they're stupidly cute, but it's so stupid in general. I hate it.
It's like, oh, your lore is ugly in it, but you're so cute.
It's like they said, okay, we're going to create this species, and then they hired a bunch of ghostwriters to create the rules and regulations, but none of those ghostwriters like ever, you know, like worked with each other. So it's just ridiculous.
I think ChatGPT could make a better lore than
yeah, for real. All right.
Oh my gosh.
We could go on forever with that, but we don't.
We want really to. Could. It's we okay. Could. We don't have quite the time, but we could definitely segue back into creativity amongst very specifically the younger furs within the fandom, because it is absolutely astounding.
Oh yeah,
what people can do. I mean, anything from raptor masks to cardboard fursuit heads, paper masks, a half masks. I recently found this person, I think on Instagram, where they make incredibly detailed half masks, and I'm like, oh, I would definitely wear something like that, like, and be, yep, this is part of my fursuit. But like, just some of the creativity that comes out of like these younger people mm-hmm. is insane. I went to a convention in December, not a furry convention, it was just a normal convention. It was called Galaxy Con, and there was obviously cosplayers and fursuiters and everything, but there was a bunch of kids, and they had these insane looking raptor masks, and I was like, how do you do this? I'm like, I have one myself, like I don't have the actual fursuit part, I'm trying to make one, but like, oh my god, I'm like, how do you do this like so confidently? So it's like incredible.
Paper mache masks I've seen. Mm-hmm. Then there's also
the puppets.
Oh, the puppets. Oh my god, so
the
cool.
Paper puppets, their eyes blink and like teeth and stuff move. It's incredible.
There's a paper mask creator called Elliot Stuff. There, we'll include their link tree that goes to a lot of their different sites, but they make the most vibrant, insane looking fursuit heads made out of paper. And they're so colorful and so detailed. And I really wanted to get them on as a guest. And then I realized that they're underage. So we couldn't do that.
There are unfortunately lots of rules and stipulations that we have to go through in order to potentially have anybody that is a minor on the show. But yeah, for safety on our end, especially,
we usually stick to like 17 years old plus.
Yes, so 17 and up, like 17, there's like that little gray area.
I would prefer 18, but 17.
Yeah, 18 and up. Sorry,
you know, but that's just kind of how it is. Yeah.
It's just a little. It's just a little weird and a little uncomfy, and you know, we got to filter ourselves. We don't want to filter ourselves. So.
No, there's a pixel Minecraft fursuiter named Handlebar Sprites. You can find them on Twitter. They made a Minecraft fursuit head that's actually furred, which is really cool looking.
That is cool.
And then there's just another guy that does Minecraft fursuits, and they make it out of paper, and it's really ingenious. So we go from one extreme, which is Elliot Stuff, that does basically makes a fursuit head but out of paper. And then we go to this other extreme, which is the Minecraft one, where they're weaving paper together to create like hand paws, feet paws, and like, you know, a head. The only mm-hmm. like drawbacks to doing stuff like this is that you have to be careful to not get it wet. Otherwise, it falls apart.
Don't go swimming and don't go out in the rain.
Yeah. But the other thing is that it's super creative, and there's lots of different ways to do it. So young furs, they always come up with new ideas, and I love seeing them.
I love seeing the innovation.
Our next thing is making friends. So this one's a little bit of a gray area, I think. Depends how you see it.
Well, because I think the times have changed, you know, from when we were young and as opposed to like people now.
Yeah.
Where technology.
Why don't you go over this?
Sure. Yeah, I can go over it real quick. So making friends, like I said, is just way different from when we were young as opposed to most of probably our listeners now who have grew up with technology, a, you know, iPad in their hand since like birth. So
yeah.
Making friends, I think now is both easy and hard in my personal opinion. And I say this because you can find just about anybody on the internet, either through social media or whatever, because social media is huge. You have Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok is huge, and you can make friends and other, you know, and meet other like-minded people. The only problem is that like half the time they are either halfway across the world, you know, or, you know, the country or whatever, and it's hard to meet them in person. Like, for example, I have a friend that I've been friends with forever, but I've never met them like in person. And yet I also have friends that I meet, you know, and talk to in person like every other day. Hmm. So it's easy because you can be like, hey, you like this. Yeah, I like this. And it's like, okay, then you guys can talk about it. But then like the only problem is that if they say one wrong thing, a lot of times with today and like whatnot, people will just, oh, I'm going to block them.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, then there goes, you know, maybe 6 months or even 6 years worth of whatever. Now, I will say, like, if somebody does start to make you personally feel uncomfortable, feel free to hit that block button. Like, but don't just like block them just because, like, oh, well, I'm tired of them or they're like annoying or whatever. Well, hey, maybe you might be their only outlet. You know, think about that before you hit that block button. But yeah. Again, if they make you feel uncomfy, go ahead and do it. So, but yeah, so like I said, for us, it was more like by word of mouth, like, hey, like I met so-and-so, like whatever. I think they're cool and I think you would like them. And it's like, oh, okay. And then you guys meet up at like a convention or like, you know, over dinner or something or after school. So
or at a fur meet.
Or at a fur meet. But yeah, so like it's a little different. And I guess you could still do the same thing, you know, like, hey, like I know this person, like I think you guys would really click or, you know, mesh really well. Let's meet up like at this convention or at this fur meet or whatever. You can do that. A lot of people are connecting over Dungeons and Dragons. That is making a huge comeback because it was really big in the 80s. And I think it kind of died a little bit. And then now it's making a huge comeback, I think, since COVID especially.
So and because of Stranger Things.
And Stranger Things, yes, yeah. Which I am both excited about the next season because I binged watched the entire thing a few months ago, and it's really good. My only problem is that when I was, and if somebody hasn't watched it, spoiler alert, if you want to watch it, I'm going to spoil
people
something.
People die.
No. People die. But no, listen, everybody was so upset that Eddie dies, then nobody gave a flying shit about Max and her like current situation. I'm like, why did nobody give a crap about her? Like, what the fuck? I'm like, no. I'm like,
what about like, what's her face in season one that dies?
Oh,
the best friend. Glasses.
I can't remember. What is her name? Oh my god.
Stranger Things season one.
I can't remember. See. Oh, yeah. That one. No, the one that dies in the pool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's like completely forgotten at some point. She's like, oh well.
Like, it's such a bummer because I'm like, oh, Barbara. I think her name was Barbara.
Barbara. Yes. Barbara.
Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, come on. Like, I was kind of in to bring her back or something, but no.
Like, somehow, no.
Totally forget about her.
That bitch gone. She's been up in the upside down and eaten by a Demogorgon.
I just want the series to end so that we can start doing other things.
Other things. No, I see. And the sad thing is that I kind of agree because like, I like the show. The show has like really great qualities to it. And it is a good show. Do not get me wrong. It's a good show. But like, there are some things where I'm like, okay, come on guys. Come on. Everybody who loved Eddie Munson and like whatnot. And everybody who's like, oh my God, like I love those kind of people. You are lying because I was Eddie Munson growing up in like middle school and high school and everybody hated me. So shut the fuck up. like you can't do that.
It's like when Walking Dead first came out, it was really cool. But the fact that it's still going, I'm just like, really? Like how much more can you really do at this point? Like it's just
true.
Just kill it already and do something else.
I agree.
Going back to making friends. Sorry.
back to making friends, not zombies or Demogorgons.
There's other ways to make friends. You can do it over Facebook, Telegram, and Twitter. Just be careful who you're talking to. Never give out personal information. Your parents will say this too, and you're going to be like, oh, whatever. But truly, take it from us. Don't give out your personal information. Be really careful on who you're talking to. And like Paradox said, if you're not comfortable by the situation and something seems wrong, it's usually a red flag that something is not right. And that's when you should cut connections.
Don't give out your, like, where you go to work. Don't give out, like, your address.
Anything.
stuff like that. Anything that would like reveal your location. Now, unless, like I said, unless you know them. Yes, unless you know them, and I mean know them, because after a certain point, okay, there's an old saying called the honeymoon phase, okay?
Yeah.
So once you get past that and like you really talk about the nitty gritty and stuff, like, and you get real personal about a couple things, I think once you actually learn about this person and become comfortable with this person, and I'm talking this may take months, if not years, preferably years. You know, once you know this person a bit more, then you can be like, hey, let me send you like a care package or something, or like, hey, maybe we should meet up at a public space. Do not be like, hey, I'll come on over. No. Meet up somewhere public and meet with somebody else. Take a friend, a parent, you know, a relative with you for safety reasons. So
yeah, like, whenever I meet up with someone, whether it's someone I've met off of Facebook with an interest, or I'll go ahead and say like a kink site, I always say, they'll be like, yeah, why don't you come over? And I'm like, nope. My rule is that I get to know you first on, you know, chatting. If I feel like that warrants that we can go one step further, then we need to meet at a public place. I'll take my husband with me. Mm-hmm. We can go for coffee or lunch or something, but it has to be in a public setting. It can't be in a private setting. And even then, if I don't feel like it's just not quite there, I may just stop and have to start all over again with someone else.
Yeah, which like it's unfortunate, but
which I have done
is, yeah, it's the beauty. It's like the beauty. It's the dark and the light of friendship. It's like, you know, you can find some really great people and people that like I like to consider like my found family, because I have made friends through the years, and especially recent years. I now in life cannot imagine my life without these people, because I love them so much and I consider them like my brothers and sisters and like siblings and whatnot, because they are amazing people to be around. Yeah. I've also had some people that I thought were great and they ended up ripping my heart out, which sucks, but that's what happens, you know, with people and in life and especially in friendships. And I feel like even especially, I think like in this fandom, because I have met great people like you, Space, and like Deer Dog, and like Crow, and all, like everybody within Straight from the Muzzle, everybody is great. And then I have had other people who like I was friends with for years on like a Skype chat in my original joining of like the fandom and like really getting into it, where I unfortunately haven't spoken to them in years. Do I think of them fondly? I do, but like I just haven't spoken to them in a really long time, and I don't honestly, sometimes I don't think I ever will again, which is sad. So there is the nitty gritty and the, you know, the beautiful thing, which is friendship.
Sorry, I was trying to figure out what segue into the next one. So moving on into our next segment, which kind of perfectly works with making friends. A good question to ask, is the fandom safe for young furs? Yes. It is one of the more accepting and inclusive fandoms out there, and as mentioned before, often intertwines with other fandoms, such as anime, gaming communities. However, with every fandom, there is always cautionary tape line that we all need to be aware of. From new furs to gray muzzles, safety is number one priority in any fandom situation. Mm-hmm. Like we said, don't give out your personal information, that kind of a thing, but know your boundaries, know your limits. Obviously, you know, there's going to be like not safe for work areas in the fandom. Don't go down those alleys unless you want to go down those alleys. But also be aware that if you're young fur and you're like, I want to know what this is, just maybe don't. Maybe, or do it in a private setting. The last thing you would want is to have a parent walk in and be like, oh my God, what are you doing? And then that ruins the fandom for you right then and there. If you're going to a fur meet and you're going there for the first time, you know, be careful, you know, just kind of use your common sense.
Use your brain cell.
Yeah, use your brain cell for sure. Don't believe everything anyone ever says online. I mean, not to say that that's never the case, but there's a lot of drama that floats around in the fandom, and sometimes the information is not true. So just do your homework, look it up, see if it's legit, leave it at that.
Don't just believe anybody who tells you that they are a pink and purple polka-dotted platypus bear with wings.
Yeah.
If you know that reference, I don't know, shoot me a message and be like, I know what you said. I don't know. So, but I'll leave it at that.
I'm not going to say that there's not predator furries out there, because there are.
That's everywhere, all walks of life.
There are well-known furries out there. We're not going to bring it because I don't want to down the episode, but there are well-known furries out there that have been to court that are registered as sex offenders or child offenders. So you're going to get that everywhere you go. In fact, I don't necessarily recommend it, but I did do it the other day. You can go on to like a sexual offender website and type in your address to see who's around you. I was shocked to see that there are several sexual offenders in our neighborhood. And I'm like, what the hell? So just because they seem friendly, just because they seem like they're good on the outside, it doesn't always mean that they're good on the inside. So just be really careful. Overall, yes, the fandom is fairly safe. It's a place where people can create. They have endless, boundless things that go on. I'm to them. My brain is starting to like shut down, you know? Overall, it's safe, but just use your general common sense. There is a lot of drama in the fandom. To avoid drama, just don't partake in it. Simple as that. In fact, you had a quote about drama.
I did.
Yeah, if you go looking for it.
Oh, yes. Okay, so if you go looking for darkness, you're going to often find it, and you'll often find yourself stuck in that darkness. But if you go looking for light, you're going to find it more often.
Yep.
Yeah. So hang out with the cool, nerdy people. Don't hang out with the not so cool, maybe nerdy people.
Maybe nerds.
So,
all right, I'm going to go to Twitter.
To the tweeter.
To the teeter.
The tweeter teeter.
So we asked on Twitter, we've asked a lot of things on Twitter, but we asked this one a couple weeks ago. We wanted to know what your experience has been like and what we as a fandom can do better to improve going forward. So a few of you responded, and these are their responses. Gabley said, that's actually a good question of what is the line between young furries and non-young is an age or amount of years in the fandom. So that's an interesting comment. I commented back saying, right, I was actually thinking about that. This could go both ways with getting a perspective of an actual young furry, but also the perspective of someone who's new to the fandom. So there's that. From Felix Bolt, they said, hi, my name is Felix. I'm 15 and I'm a Fulf. So if you guys don't know, Fulf is the fox wolf. My experience with the community has been good. I entered the fandom about a year ago. I was so amazed with the community, so inclusive, colorful, and interesting. I would like to meet some other fellas in the St. John, Nebraska. Is that NB, Nebraska? I should know this. Thanks for your time. Yes,
I think so.
All right. Before we leave our episode, we do have some emails. We did ask you guys to write in if you were a young furry. This was before I sent the update. So since I made the update, shocker, no additional young furry emails have come through. So we're just going to read the ones that we have from Shroomy. Now, here's the thing, too. So if you guys are young, you listen to us. If you email in, you can tell us what you want us to call you so that we don't call you by your personal or just a generic name. That way, it could be anonymous. A lot of people like to write in anonymous, and that's totally fine. So that's like a thing. I've only been in the fandom for a few months, and my parents were very against it before I became a part of it. They still don't really know that I'm a furry because they believe that furries are zoophiles and that believe that they are animals. A lot of parents do believe that. The thing that, and I'm just interjecting here, the thing that you can do to combat that is just to be upfront and honest. The more you hide from your parents, the more likely they're going to be suspicious and then go Googling and finding the wrong type of information. So
plus and minus of the internet. And unfortunately, older parents
just don't
understand. They don't get it. So
I will put a reference link in the information below that you can give to parents if they are curious and want to know what a furry is. It's perfect for them. So going back to the email, I've just been telling them that I'm making Halloween costumes a lot. It is difficult to be a part of the fandom because I'm still a minor, and most conventions and everything require a parent or a guardian, and none of my family or friends really respect or understand the fandom. I feel like the fandom would be a lot easier for kids like me or other young furries if there were virtual cons or just chats that we could use without worrying about talking to adults accidentally, because that could be potentially dangerous. Grooming, for an example. Please read this on your podcast. Thank you, Shroomy Quill. So there are Telegram groups you can join. There are Facebook groups you can join. Some are just created by kids. Some are regulated by adults just to make sure that it's a safe space for them. But you can find safe spaces in the fandom if you look for them. So thank you for emailing in, Shroomy. And I hope you have a good day.
Thank you, Shroomy.
You're next.
Cool, cool. All right. So this one is from Stone Beaufort, I think is their name. So Stone says, "Dear Space and friends, I have just come across your Twitter post about young furries in the fandom. When I first officially joined the fandom a few years ago at the age of 16, my experience was nothing but positive. Since my friend S'morecat introduced me to the wonderful land of furry Twitter and interacting with other people with the same interests as me in such a positive way has really helped me feel better about my life and about myself. Although there has definitely been ups and downs, overall it has been a really positive experience for me. So to answer the other question of what can we as a fandom do to improve, I would say to not let some negative things or experiences be the only thing that we talk about or focus on. This is one thing I have noticed about the fandom is that the drama that happens occasionally, and that is natural, but we need to not let the drama become the whole fandom. Says, I just noticed how long my email is getting to be. I promise you it's not that long, but so I probably had better finish this email. Says, signing off for now, Stone Beaufort. So I do agree there are some like drama.
A lot of drama that happens.
There's a lot of drama. Again, we are furries. Yes, we're cringe. And yes, we know about it and we hate it. It's okay.
Yeah.
So like the drama that happens, it does often get blown up. And I think it becomes more blown up, I think more so now than it did like say like 20-ish years ago, is because of like technology and how quickly, you know, misinformation can spread, yeah, or even like just bad negative things can spread, because sometimes it is misinformation. Again, somebody can say something wrong once and then somebody tries to blacklist them. So And actually, a great example of this was that a well-known fursuiter named – oh, I'm going to botch their name. Oh, man. It's something Finity. Yes, Peachy. I don't remember. Anyway, they're well-known on like TikTok and stuff, but like they once made a character that was like indigenous and like whatnot, but they themselves were not indigenous. And so everybody was like, oh, my God, you can't do that, blah, 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 because you don't understand – I can understand why that might be a problem. However, they did make a video about like removing the character and like apologizing deeply. And it was genuine, because I follow this person for years and I like them a lot. The artist is great. They're very credible. They made a huge apology, but they also took down everything. They stopped doing commissions for a really long time, and they stopped putting out any content because they were so afraid of being blacklisted. However, they did make a formal apology and even removed the character. So I think the reaction might have been a bit too much to make them feel that bad. They are just now getting back into like the fandom and whatnot, and everybody is meeting them with open arms, which is great. But like, I do feel like that kind of reaction might have been a bit much. In most, now not all circumstances, but in most circumstances, if you see drama, don't be a part of the drama.
Just walk away.
Just leave. Just walk away. Just be like, hey, you know what? I don't like it. Do the thing and just block. What in the world are you doing, Kat? What did you do?
Like, even on our like podcast Twitter account, I don't see much drama. I hear things from like Sparrow or from, you know, Dear Dog, like, oh, hey, you hear what's going on? I'm like, no, because I don't pay attention to that kind of stuff. Exactly. I personally do not listen to the drama anymore. I used to be addicted to it. It ruined me. I've chosen a different path, and I like that path now.
See, I think I've become kind of the same thing, where like I just simply don't have a lot of energy for that sort of drama. I'm like, yeah. Oh my God, I can't do it anymore. I can't. Like, is it interesting sometimes? But like, I mean, like, yes, but like, I just don't anymore for the most part. Sometimes I'm like, ooh, that sounds spicy, and I'll look maybe like a couple feet into it. But like after that, I'm like, ah, you know what? This is too much and I'm out.
I'm out.
Mic drop. But I have better things to devote my time and my energy to than wondering what, you know, Shaggy Wolf 69 is doing. Like, I don't, it's a completely made up name. If that's your name, I'm sorry.
But it's like, I just don't care anymore. So.
I just don't, you know, it's just, there's too much negativity.
It's possible that that comes with experience in the fandom. I think maybe at the beginning you get caught up in it and that's kind of the thing. And as you get older, I'm hoping I've seen it with a few people, but I'm not sure if this is actually just a product of how it works. But I feel like the more time you spend in the fandom, the better of an understanding you're getting. And then you choose to kind of walk away from it. However, I can't say that for some people that I know that are friends that just love the drama and get involved with it. I don't want to be involved with it anymore. It doesn't get me anywhere good. And that's not good for me. So.
Agree.
So drama, walk away. There you go.
Mic drop and walk away.
Mic drop and walk away.
We just make that little jingle. When you see drama, you just mic drop and walk away.
Right. So as a whole, why join the fandom? The fandom is inclusive and boundless in its creativity. Most people love animals or at least have a favorite. Since it intertwines and crosses lines with other fandoms and doesn't derive from one specific genre in pop culture, it is truly limitless. It's fun. It's full of folks from all walks of life. Even doctors and military individuals have found a place within the fandom. Young furries are the next generation of the fandom and overall the one giant family that is the furry fandom. I have found my family in the furry fandom. So I can say that.
Same.
It is our job to make sure that people feel safe and welcome no matter what their differences are. So that is our episode today about young and newer furries in the fandom. It's a longer one. It's much longer than we normally do, but there was a lot to cover. So
there's a lot to cover and a lot to pick apart and, you know, dissect, if you will. But it was fun. And
we'll see you guys on our next episode. You know how to follow us at From the Muzzle on Twitter. We have our podcast. You can email us at talktothemuzzle@gmail.com. And we also have our Telegram link that, yes, it does work, even though people keep saying it doesn't. I test it almost once a week. So it works. Just whatever.
It works. Your internet might just suck.
So. If the one doesn't work on one site, go to another site and see if it works. God. Yeah. Jeez. But without further ado, everyone have a great day and we'll see you guys on our next episode.
This has been Straight From the Muzzle, where we give it to you straight, but none of us are. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.